This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. Okay, we're going to get started. This is the Healing Sexually Part 3. So let's pray. I'm just trying to make sure this video stays going. I thought I pressed play the other day, but I didn't. So there won't be a visual for day two. There will be the verses and things that I'll post. But if you're going to listen on YouTube, you're not going to see my smiling face on the second part. So let's get started. Let's pray and then we'll get going. Lord, I pray that you'll help us through this last part of healing sexually, and that you'll help us to understand what it means to be steadfast, that we rest in a one war, but it is a rest that's move in motion, and it's a movement forward. It's not rest in the way that it's back-footed. It's still engaged in this battle. It's still engaged in winning souls. It's still engaged in living out the fruit that, or the gifts that you've given us. So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there was a concept that is long been a part of, that God wanted me to share. And it's long been a part of my life. It had to do with bullying and things like that, mostly. But I think it would strongly apply to those of us who have been damaged sexually. It's the concept of gutter living. And it is a whole community. We can't overlook this. And it is a rare... The thing about gutter living, and these are the main ideas that keep us in the gutter, is that I am bad. I will always be bad. Two, the world is bad, and so are the people. And three, I will never, ever let my expectations rise from out of this gutter. I just dealt with this in the last little Right As You Go blog story, Sam in the Forest. Basically, in the story, the rabbits are the more representative of the church at large, or God's angels at different junctures. But they meet him where he is, but they're not letting him stay where he is. And so the thing about living in the gutter with whatever sub thoughts of these main ideas we have that keep us in there, we are part of a large group of people that isolate themselves, that have checked out in certain areas of social engagement, and we have become isolated, or we've kind of dug ourselves into a mundane, ordinary stay here, or drift off. We're the person that is always falling into that same pattern or that same sin. We can't seem to stop overeating, maybe. We can't seem to stop this sexual deviance. We can't seem to stop. And we are Christians. The problem is we think that we are doing God a service by keeping ourselves in this gutter. We have already thought that we're a waste of time. So we therefore think God thinks we're a waste of time. And let me tell you, if there is one person who should not have God's still very much active in her life, it would be me. I devised all manner of ways to turn away from God's gifting in my life. I still look at God's gifting and I ask God if he's sure about this. Well off the age range, musically speaking, if we're going to talk about songwriting and stuff, well out of that bracket. It's kind of like Sarah giving birth at 120 or whatever she was. It's just not even in the bracket. And yet God has shown himself to be just as much active in activating me as he would have been, this is key, had I been 21 with less sin under my belt. You see, the problem is we add this up. We add up all of our failings. We pile them on top of us. We lay down in the ditch and we just hope that normal people would stay out of the ditch like they normally do. Right? Most people walk over the gutter, walk past the trench. But God intends to pull you out of this cycle you're in, just with just as much fervor as he would if you were 12 years old, having never experienced these horrible experiences, done horrible things, just as interested as if he was looking at his own son. That's mind-blowing. Because we tend to think of it as a worn-out relationship. A relationship I have utterly destroyed. And sometimes we feel we've done it on purpose. Just don't involve yourself in a mess like me. But God has not acquiesced to our social norms. God has not adopted our view of us. God is not interested in what we are, all the notches on our belt. That destroyed relationship, that destroyed relationship, that what I really screwed that one up, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. He's not interested. It's not a relationship we can wear down. And some of us are good at wearing others down. Some of us are really good at it. Some of us do it on purpose. He's not playing. He's not playing. He's still as excited about your future right now than he was the day you got saved. That's good to know. Isn't it? Isn't it good to know? Oh man, all that effort I put into hating myself and laying in this ditch and keep bringing up my sins before my face to keep me in this ditch. It all means nothing. Yeah, all that work was for naught. All that self-destruction was for naught. All those lies you believed from Satan was for naught. Was for naught through Jesus Christ. You see, it's God's kingdom that stands. You see, it's God's kingdom that presses forward. It's God's kingdom that will last forever. It's God's culture that wins out. It's God's idea of relationship that wins. It's God's church. that we'll be with in heaven. It's God's game from the beginning. And that will last forever. Forever and ever. Amen. So, in closing, let's read. Let's first say that I won't get into the types of love. I'll give you some references for agape, storge, phileo, eros. And you probably already guessed that when you can keep those types of love in their proper places, you probably are on the way to restoring yourself sexually. When you've got maybe not categories, but you're not overtaken by eros. When you can accept agape, when you're okay with receiving agape kind of love, you're probably on your way. So here's a reference for agape, 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter. Storge is a familial type of love. That's John 11, 1 through 44. Martha, the example is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And then phileo, brotherly love, Romans 12, 10. So that is just real quick. But what I wanted to get to was some more of Psalm 51. And I read 10 through 13 the other day. But we are going to read it again. Because what we're going to kind of look at is how David is aimed towards something specific. Definitely not aimed toward keeping himself in the ditch. Well, I really screwed up and I killed somebody. I'm staying over in this gutter. I'm checked out. I'm done. You don't need a relationship with me. I'm just that. I'm a write-off. This is not where he's going. When you need to change, if you're one of those people that just more or less stays in the gutter, you're going to have to change the route on your map. Google Maps, everybody knows what Google Maps is. Those of us who are staying in the gutter, our little dot stays in one place. And the direction always goes pretty circular. We always just go back to there. But God has a destination kind of off your sights. Off my sights, and we have got to get used to the fact that we're not in charge. Because up till now, we think we are not self-centered, but we are utterly self-centered. And we think that by helping God out with beating ourselves up, that we're somehow righteous in sort of a sick way, but we're not, because we're not doing that thing that he's gifted us to do. And so the dot's going to move off of your map. You're not going to have that control, and it's going to be pretty scary because it's not going to circle back to your house, whatever the gutter or whatever it is. It's not going to do that anymore. And that is very unnerving for those of us who follow the same road, the same time, same bat channel, same all of that, right back to our same place. For something to be off our radar, to be off our scale, to be off our control is really, really scary. Really scary. And that's the conversation the Lord and I have a lot. Are you sure? Because this is way off. This is way, way off my map. That's what you're going to have to get used to. And when we read this, you're going to understand that David's not battening down the hatches. This is it. I'm just building my little lean-to right here in the ditch. This is what I deserve from here on out. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit. Why do you need a steadfast spirit? Because you want to be engaged with what God is doing. You wouldn't need a steadfast spirit if you're going to stay in your lean-to, in your ditch, in your gutter. You don't need a steadfast spirit for that. You need a steadfast spirit to go where who knows where, Lord. Who knows where? That's what you need a steadfast spirit for. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away. No, I want to be in this thing. Do not cast me away. I want to be back in what you're doing from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He knows very well how it's all going to work out, how he's going to have victory. And it's by the Holy Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. He's going after what matters. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. You don't need a willing spirit to stay in a ditch. You need a willing spirit to engage in that which is scary and vulnerable and his plan. He's not a tame little kitty we open up the cage to. He is a roaring lion. He's a consuming fire. He has his own plan. And sometimes we're like, I did not see that coming. I don't know what to do with that. Are you sure, Lord? Ask anyone who's been following God fully and tell them, so does God, you know, ever surprise you? You might get a couple of minutes of silence. And, well, yes, he does. Did you know all this was going to happen? Absolutely not. Was it scary at times? Are you kidding me? Those are going to be some of the answers. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. He wants back in the game. He's not on the, I don't want to be on this bench. I don't want to be in the ditch. I don't want to be in the gutter. I have no intention of staying there. I have no intention of keeping myself there. This is not the plan. Get me back. I did not come to the game to sit on the sidelines. This is what David's saying. Back in. Get me back in, whatever it takes. And sinners will be converted to you. Peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.